Listen this morning for God's word to you. From Luke 10, 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I believe that God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Some of you probably saw this on YouTube or maybe on television. There's a 1 minute clip showing an amazing life or death struggle. It was shot by some Kruger Park tourists on a safari in South Africa. Visitors to the park are told to stay in their vehicles at all times, but you know, tourists being tourists did not obey. The video shows the cars parked along the access road with all the windows and the doors open, a no-no, and people hanging out every which way to get a look at the wild animals. In this case, what everyone was gawking at was a herd of gazelles being chased by two cheetahs. Suddenly, the whole chase changed course and headed straight into the roadway. Predator and prey racing through the lineup of parked cars and disappeared into the woods on the other side of the road. Moments later, one gazelle doubled back, again running towards the road with the cheetah pair in hot pursuit. Feeling the hot breath of death on his heels, knowing it could be taken down and his life over at any second, the terrified cheetah made a decision. It jumped into the Toyota van. The door was open. The cheetahs, not knowing what happened after this gazelle jumped into it, ran on by looking for it, like it disappeared in the thin air. And then the people in the van, kind of freaking out, opened the other door, and the gazelle ran out. Exit stage left, back out into the wilderness. I also saw this on Leno, and they did a little different take on it. They had the gazelle in the driver's seat driving the van off. I just love that. We think we live with stress. How many of us go through that type of situation in our lives on a daily basis? Stress is one of the great contributors to a host of diseases and maladies that suffer by people living in this rapidly rotating world. And the popularity of zombie movies may reflect a culture where we seem to be walking around sometimes as if we are already dead. With our smartphones and our earbuds, we are never out of touch, which is another way of saying that we never have any downtime and we can never escape, to say that we can always find the world is to say at the same time, the world can always find us. The fact is, whether we are a gazelle being chased by a cheetah, or an early human being hunted down by a saber-toothed tiger, life is stressful. Living with cancer or heart disease or diabetes or whatever it might be in the 21st century is still stressful. But so was living through the successive plagues of the Black Death that just decimated Europe. The violence of the 21st century of terrorism is a terrible stressor to us. But so was day after day face-off with soldiers in their trenches facing one another and shooting bullets and bombs. as was the experience of all the smaller countries who faced the fierceness and the force of the Roman legions in the first centuries as they marched upon them and conquered them and took slaves. Violence is always stressful, no matter what form it takes, behind locked doors, between a husband and wife, or children. Regardless of how much the past week you felt like it resembled diving headlong into a minivan to escape a cheetah, we must all remember that the 21st century did not invent and did not perfect stress. It was in 1865 that Lewis Carroll first published his fantasy, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Although the story was first told to small children being peacefully punted down the river in an idyllic English setting, the opening scenes of Alice give us a poster boy picture of stress. As we all remember, Alice gets into the wacky wonderland by following a big white rabbit who runs by her while frantically consulting his pocket watch and exclaiming, I'm late for a very important date. Does it remind you of what happened to me last Tuesday? When I was running late and my car drove off the embankment, $13,000 so far in damage. Yeah, not just a little fender bender. But that harried hair has lent its name to a lifestyle so many of us have embraced, the white rabbit syndrome. Always late, always rushing past the scenery, always diving down yet another rabbit hole to some more important, I've got to be over there instead of here. I've got to be talking to someone else instead of the one that's in front of me that I'm talking to right now. I've got to get somewhere else. I've got to be over there. Time's running out. White rabbit syndrome is also known as BMB. Behold me busy. Sometimes we think as long as we're busy, we're getting something done. But half the time we're just spinning our wheels doing nothing. Just being busy doesn't mean anything. And those suffering from BMB are not only perpetually overloaded and overwhelmed, they also many times feel they need to tell everyone. If misery loves company, BMB is the new black plague. It's being spread by word of mouth, by those who feel its effects. In this week's gospel text, Martha is suffering from a serious case of behold me busy. After voluntarily opening her home to Jesus and the disciples, after willingly taking on herself the responsibilities of providing the hospitality to her visitors, she begins to lose focus. Martha no longer can see that she has in her midst a great prophet and a great teacher, a word from God to present to all who will sit at his feet and listen. Instead, Martha only sees how many mouths she has to feed. Instead of finding fellowship and fulfillment through listening to and learning from Jesus, all Martha feels is frustration and friction of sibling sniping. From Martha's perspective, she is overwhelmed and she is overworked. Her sister Mary is doing nothing to help. Mary is simply sitting and listening to her house guest. But when Martha goes all ballistic over Mary's behavior, even lashing out at Jesus for not caring about this unequal division of labor, the Lord points out the emptiness behind her behold me busy self-righteousness. There's only one thing that needs Martha's full attention. There's only one thing here that is of ultimate importance, and she's losing focus. There's only one thing required of her, and that is not serving the perfect meal. As Augustine noted, Jesus is showing Martha the difference between providing yet another home-cooked meal and receiving the eternal bread of life. That night in Martha and Mary's house, the good eats were not going to come out of the kitchen as good as they would have been. The real deal meal was being served up at the feet of Jesus, where the one who was the bread of life was offering to all who would listen an invitation to partake in the kingdom of God. It's one thing to welcome Jesus into your home like Martha has done. It's quite another thing to do what Mary has done. Welcome Jesus into your heart. Martha thought Mary was slacking off. Martha thought that Mary was playing hooky, and she was. But here's the thing. Playing hooky is what God intends for us to do. God was playing when God created the world and everything in it. Play is an important part of the essence of creativity and creation in all that we do. God put Adam and Eve into the ultimate playground, the Garden of Eden. And Eden was completely stress-free. Food was plentiful and easily available. Adam and Eve were large and in charge, and God strolled in the garden in the evening, and there was nothing but beauty and bounty. And then sin entered into the equation. And the loss of innocence and the success of stress began. That's the essence of the fall. And so play became a four-letter word, as in, don't play with me, or he's a player. In the church, the Martha and Mary story became a battle between the contemplative life, Mary, or the life of active service, Martha. The Eastern Church, the contemplative role of Mary continues to be very strong. After the Reformation, the work ethic, what we call the Protestant work ethic, became very important to a Martha-oriented life. But to tell you the truth, both extremes miss the mark, and extremes usually miss the mark. Jesus is not saying that activity is bad. Jesus is not saying that meditation or contemplation is wrong. He's not saying that. Jesus is saying that loving God is what matters the most, and we've got to put our priorities out there in the right order. Attending to our relationship with Christ is the first and most important thing we can and must do, and we must live the life of faith. And any love relationship means embracing a theology of play. Jesus does not want us to work harder. Jesus wants us to play harder. Jesus wants us to revel in his presence, to relish the part of the kingdom that is present now among us, to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit to go out and play and invite the world to come play with us. Too many people have the wrong understanding of the church and what we should be about. In Genesis, creation is an act of play, and all creation is an act of play, including the creation of the body of Christ, the church. Communities of faith are communities of play. Communities at play who join Jesus in what he's up to in the world. There's a saying, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. The ultimate in life is when your vocation and your vocation are one and the same. If you first and always love the Lord and you sit at his feet, then every act of discipleship is an act of play. The things that you do for the kingdom, for the church, will be things that make you happy and are fun when you're proper with God. And your vocation is your vacation. There's no disjuncture between living your life and loving the Lord. There shouldn't be. And all of life becomes a playground of the Spirit, whether you're in a Mary or a Martha role. So what I want to do is I want to send you out into the world to play. Go out and play. Show others what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to invite Jesus not just into your house or your home, but to invite Jesus into your heart as a permanent resident. So let's make sure that we have fun at Glenshaw Valley in everything that we do, in every aspect of our life. Our lemonade socials, our picnics and our potluck lunches and our barbecues, whatever we think is fun and whatever we think is wholesome, let's have fun and let's celebrate it and let's pat the people on the back that do it and tell them, good job, thank you for doing it. And let's have fun in our Bible studies and our small groups and our choir. And let's have fun at worship. Let's have fun in all the areas in the life of Glenshaw Valley. And let's make sure that we have fun at our session meetings. I knew I'd get some humor out of that one. And our deacon meetings. And our women of the church meetings, and our team meetings. Because sometimes we go in and we're talking about money and we're talking about different things and we have different personalities. And we allow those things to get in the way of the mission. And we allow it to get in the way of us having fun. And we should be able to do it and have fun at the same time. Because people who come in and look at us will pick up on the attitudes of whether we're having fun and we're a community of faith and joy. They will know. They will pick up on it. So let's have fun with everything we do. Remember, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, Cyndi Lauper, some of you know who she is. She had a song, says, girls just want to have fun. Remember that? And she just danced all around back in the 80s. It was a major, mega hit. And I think I'm going to write a song, and I'll sing it to you one Sunday. Okay, won't go that far. That would lose the joy. But entitle it, Christians Just Want to Have Fun. Too often, we don't smile enough. We're sour. We're dour. We're long-faced. We're negative. We're against everything. And that's not the way God has called the church to be. He's called us to be the community of faith celebrating. Now, I know individually sometimes we're going to be like that. Because we have stress and we have things that come against us. We have illness, we have financial problems, we have relationship problems. We can have anything that comes against us and attacks us and knocks us down. And that's why we need the community of faith. That's why the community of faith needs to be a place of joy. So when we're like that and we come into the church and we're greeted by the church, whether individually or collectively, we can help build that person or that family up and elevate them and not be a part of the problem that pushes them further down. We have a responsibility to one another. We don't need to be angry. As a church, we don't need to be sad. We need to celebrate what we have. The older I get, the more I've learned to count my blessings. You know, you were here last week about the car. You know, after that happened, and I've reflected some this week, I started thinking about all the blessings of that. You say, how do you get a blessing out of your car rolling down a hill, crushing the back end, $13,000 in damage, still waiting to see if there's frame damage? I started thinking, most of the time when I hop out of the car to go run back in, well, about 50% of the time, Xenon's in the back. He wasn't in the back. Blessing. He could have been hurt or killed or traumatized. Blessing. I wasn't in it. Blessing. Didn't go all the way down the hill, didn't hit anybody's house, it didn't flip over. Blessings. So I'm looking for small blessings. Robin gave me her car to use. Blessing. Got a really good laugh out of it last week. Blessing. Look for your blessings. Look for things to smile about. Look for things to laugh about. Look for things, even in the meetings, to celebrate and take the tension away from any meeting. We don't need it. We need to rejoice. You know, the Bible says rejoice. Isn't that what I have in here? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let's play. We need to be filled with joy as a congregation. We need to do it for ourselves. We need to do it for our members when they're down. And we need to do it to attract people into the church. And then when they come into the church, they will know that this is a place to celebrate and be full of joy and happiness. Mary and Martha, rejoice. Smile. Play. Get your priorities in order. Establish that close relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's have some fun. God bless you. Amen.